I was hoping I would know how to start this in a way that was poignant and meaningful, but I honestly am very just sad right now. My heart is going out to everyone all over the world who has been a victim to these attacks by ISIS and extreme terrorists. They will not win. They did not win. Love wins. And I wish I had more to say about it, but to be honest, I'm speechless about it. It's too big. It's too big. I encourage you guys to read. Not just books, like read newspapers that aren't just Fox News. If you're reading an article online, make sure that it's corroborated with cited sources, separate cited sources. Go back to what you learned in high school about actual journalistic scientific method. You have to have backup. You have to have proof. If there's an article online with a clickbait title, go there, click it. If you're actually going to post something, read what it's talking about. And if you're going to post some dumbass shit, be prepared to be called out for your dumbassness, because we live in a time where information is everywhere. And if you have a computer enough to post some ignorant ass shit, you have a computer to research to be less ignorant. Don't be fucking racist either. And guess what? Saying I'm not a racist, but you're probably a racist. You're probably being racist. So instead of holding on to whatever hatred you have in your heart, instead of deciding that refugees don't deserve to come here because they're not Christian enough, remember who you are as people first, and then as idealists second. Whatever party you belong to, remember that it's all bullshit at the end of the day. Remember to think for your fucking self. Remember that if you're turning away humans who have nowhere else to go because you're afraid that they might hurt you, you're wrong. Because your fears are xenophobic. They're unfounded. And we were gifted the Statue of Liberty by France. And to quote the philosopher Cher Horowitz, it does not say RSVP on the Statue of Liberty. Sometimes I know what I'm going to say when I sit down, and sometimes I just sit down and start talking. I'm starting to think of it as a person. I'm starting to imagine the people listening to this podcast in my head when I talk. And right now I'm really angry and I'm really sad. So, to everybody who is hurting right now, to everybody who has lost a family member or a friend or any sort of loved one in any of these attacks, I'm so sorry. My thoughts are with you. My prayers are with you. I'm excited for this episode. We have my friend Jason Rogel in the closet, and we used to work together on a show for MTV called Zack Stone is Gonna Be Famous. He was one of the stars. It was a mockumentary style show that came out in 2012, and it was on MTV, and so he was actually one of the cameramen that was like on camera filming the other person who was on camera. It was really funny, actually. It only lasted a season, but I really loved it, and we've stayed in touch, at least through Facebook. Seeing each other in person is difficult. LA is hard. Work is hard. But since 2012, he's been working pretty steadily. He is now one of the leads on the ABC Family show Kevin from Work, and can also be seen in the 25 Days of Christmas original Mistletoe, starring Tia Mowry and Tori Spelling. And he's amazing. He's so funny. We got to sit and talk a lot about, you know, what it's like for him being a first generation actor, you know, with immigrant parents. He is Filipino. So what that was sort of like for him, you know, what the audition process was like, what it's been like working for ABC Family. You know, he's gotten to, you know, play off the amazing Amy Sedaris. He's gotten to do movies with both Leah Thompson and then a TV show with, Tom Wilson, so sort of we get to talk about what it was like to work with two Back to the Future actors. It was really great catching up with him and just seeing where he's at right now. And yeah, so check it out, because we actually got to be a little deep for a while. You know, it's good to catch up with people who you actually, because when you work on a TV show, let me explain it for people who don't know. Like, it's a very condensed, bit of time, often, you know, like only a couple weeks, sometimes a couple months, but you're with some people for 12 hours a day every day, and there's a lot of downtime. It's a lot of hurry up and wait. That's sort of the known saying, I guess, the phrase. So you get to spend a lot of downtime with people in trailers and on set and just, you know, dicking around and doing nothing and really getting to know people. And so you end up forming pretty good bonds with people. And even if you don't get to see them for a while, you still have a lot of that connection again that immediately strikes up when you see them. And so I was very lucky to be able to sit down with him. I'm so glad and thankful that he was gracious enough to sit with me for an hour. So please enjoy this conversation. I sure as hell did. This episode of Super Hungry the Podcast is brought to you by one of our returning sponsors. Von Strantz is the awesome folk rock chick duo from Indiana that's going on their hashtag Very Very Merry Tour 2015. Starting December 9th at Rain Dogs in Jacksonville, Florida, you can catch them touring with Villi Harrington. They're going to be at a house show in Jacksonville, Florida on December 10th. December 11th, they'll be at a house show in Fayetteville, Georgia. December 12th, they'll be at Eddie's Attic in Decatur, Georgia. And December 13th, they'll be at Mojo's in Greenville, South Carolina. So for the rest of the tour dates, for details on how to RSVP to the house shows and all of their music, check them out at bonstrance.com. This episode of Super Hungry the Podcast is brought to you by another returning sponsor, Hair by Kaylee LA. Kaylee Vandenberg does cuts, color, and wedding styling that includes consultations, trials, and day of execution. Her hair tutorials have over 1.5 million views on YouTube, and she's been featured in Redbook, Glamour.com, and Lucky Magazine. So check her out at KayleeVandenberg.com and book her to style you today. So, I don't know if you guys saw any of my new updates, but if you checked out the dope AF photos that I just posted this week, they are courtesy of the brilliant photographer, cinematographer, director of photography, Derek Street. He does films, he does TV, he does still photography, including headshots. So actors, if you liked any of what you saw during my photo shoot, you should check out his portfolio at derekstreet.com and contact him, because he will make you look amazing. And check us out on iTunes, Podomatic, Facebook, you guys know the drill. Tumblr, I'm about to upgrade to a new website. And again, a big thanks to my friend Sydney Landis, who is incredible and redesigned a brand new logo for us. If you guys are listening on any of your mobile devices, you can see the new logo. Sydney is incredible. She's an awesome portrait artist and illustrator and does all kinds of shit. Different mixed media stuff, sculptures, amazing stuff. So check out her portfolio at ILU Sydney T. So that's the letters I, L, and the letter U, SYDNEYTEE.tumblr.com to check out her portfolio. Thanks again for doing that, girl. I'm so excited. And yeah, check out this conversation with Jason Rogel. In this closet.
I love it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming
thank
to the
you
closet.
For having me.
Do you want to spit out your gum? I feel like I should like do the parent thing.
And can't just show it on air.
And can't just
I got it.
You're like, I have a cup.
Look at that.
I will have you know that I have notes on my phone for this interview. I've prepared. I'm very excited. But yeah, thanks for coming in. How's your Sunday? You were wet when I got here. It was raining. Yeah,
I'm wet when I see you all the time. No, edit that. No, it was drizzling.
Yeah.
For a hot second, and then it stopped.
That's so. The biggest news ever to Angelinos, because
El Nino, that grande El Nino. Oh boy.
So. How are you? You're on hiatus right now? Are you just
I'm good.
Working, chilling?
We are done with the season, and okay. We're currently waiting to find out if there's a second season.
For ABC Families.
For ABC Families, Kevin from work. ABC Family soon to be Freeform after the
end of the year. That's so great. We were talking about it before.
Yeah.
So Freeform.
Freeform is the new name that's happening. I think ABC Family's kind of been moving away from the family, trying to age up with
kids are gross. I understand.
Mm-hmm, well, you know, but also age up with the group that they started out with, the audience they started out with. So, you know, like our show probably gears towards the mid-20s a little bit more. And so,
versus
you know,
like the 18.
Right.
Crowd.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, you know, I think ABC Family is trying to escape the family a little bit and move towards an edgier, free form type of show.
Getting those millennials.
You know?
And for those who maybe don't, I'm sure a lot of people listening know exactly who you are, but for those who haven't seen Kevin from Work, what's your character's name and who do you play and what's your character?
Ricky, who is Kevin's coworker. Kevin and Audrey are the main characters of the show. I play their kooky, you know, off the wall wild card character. It's kind of the Dwight, if you know, of The Office. So if we were The Office, I'd be crazy Dwight.
Okay,
maybe a little unpredictable, a little
less Asian.
Well, a little less Asian. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We both have glasses too. But yeah.
That's awesome. So we were talking before, one of my favorite things, just as someone who knows you, I was so excited that you got to do so many scenes with Amy Sedaris.
Yes.
This season. What was it like working with her?
Love her. Love her. You know, I'd been a fan from Strangers with Candy. So I was excited. I had no idea, you know, like what to expect with Amy coming onto set, if she was going to be wild or crazy or whatever. But she was so chill and so professional coming in. And then once action was called out, she turned it on and it was hilarious. She was, you know, the crazy Amy Sedaris that we all think she is or whatever, that she always is. And just lit up the set, lit up, you know, the scene and everything. So
you guys had to kind of do a fake out makeout.
We did
scene.
A little bit of fake out makeouting. Yeah. Initially, I guess they were giving Ricky more of a teacher's pet kind of relationship with the Julia character, which is who Amy plays. She plays our boss. But it, you know, like as the season progressed, it kind of, she went in one direction and I went in to a different person. So, yeah, but I mean, in the beginning, we did have a lot of fun.
What was that like to do something so?
She's hilarious. I was like, I'm just gonna kiss your boobs. Can we fake kiss? That's how I'm gonna fake kiss. I'm gonna go for your chest area, and she was like, go for it, do it. So
how long had you known her at that point? Like a
that
day?
Was probably. Well, we had shot the pilot, but this was our first time back, and it was the second episode, so probably 2 days. Yeah. So, but it was fun.
That's
fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. She's just the amazing thing about her. She's just down for anything and gung-ho, and she just puts it all out there and just gives you so much to work with and play with that you know, you just roll along with it, you know. So
she's like definitely such a comedy hero of mine, and she did something so funny recently. I don't know if you watched that show on True TV, Billy on the Street, with Billy Eichner.
No.
He's the guy with the microphone. He goes around basically like yelling at people.
Oh, yes.
So she was on it as a guest recently, and it was Shondaland, and they basically made an obstacle course of all the different Shonda Rhimes shows, and one of them was like she had to go through a crowd of white people who were patting themselves on the back for putting a minority in a main role. And so it was literally like a group of people all going like this. And she had to like fight her way through
them.
And then at one point she had to climb over and through a bunch of gays having a sex scene.
I love it.
Because of
it.
Everything.
That's all Shonda. Yes.
And I just loved how game for it she was, because it had nothing to do with like anything
at
all.
Yeah.
And she just totally, she looked like a character from Global Guts or something.
For
and
sure.
She was just like totally going for it. It was so
she
funny.
That's the thing, is she goes for everything, and it's always 110%. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. And it's neat. It's amazing to watch and be a part of and play off of as well, you know, so
Well, you've worked with a couple really kind of like classic comedians who have been working for a really long time, and how we know each other is from on the MTV show Zack Stone is Gonna Be Famous.
Yeah.
The classic short-lived, too soon.
Way too soon.
But we both had an opportunity to work with Tom Wilson, which was amazing. And obviously you had a couple scenes with him as, you know, on screen, and your character was sort of it was a for everybody who hasn't seen it, so for everyone. Right. It was like a fake reality show sort of a situation.
Style,
yeah, mockumentary. Yeah. So your character was the on-camera cameraman.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
And so you had a lot of scenes with Tom Wilson. Did you guys ever have any moments like off screen where you got to really connect with him and kind of Back to the Future, they just celebrated the anniversary
and the cool thing was I had worked with Leah Thompson a few years back.
Oh, wow.
Before
That's
we
awesome.
Shot Zack Stone. So I actually, when I found out that Tom was playing the dad, had texted Leah Thompson and was like, hey, I'm working with Tom Wilson. And she's like, tell him I said hi. And so I had my initial meeting with Tom Wilson was like, Leah Thompson says hi.
And he was like, what?
He was like, huh? Cool. That was our initial connection.
Yeah.
So, but he's just great. And like you said, he's been around forever and they've been the veteran character actors and, or just veteran actors, period. And they're professional and you just love, love watching them and he just brought it to set as well. Too.
Every
he was
day,
hilarious.
Man. He was funny.
And we had, like some downtime too with he and then Carrie Coleman who played the mom. I mean, we just had so much fun. That was when I was obsessed with the, picture perfect animals.
Oh, right. It's like basically like Snapchat where you would put like a photo of like an animal on
random animals into your pictures.
I Instagrammed one a long time ago and it's like me like petting like a lion or like a cheetah.
So that was the craze. And I have one of Carrie and Tom high-fiving a puma or something like that or a cheetah. It's the best.
He was so funny during, because I spent so much time, obviously, just, like, right at Video Village, like, behind all of the showrunners, because I was there in case they, fucking sneezed. I was like, here's a tissue, here's my hand, I'll just wipe it on my sweater, it's fine, and so it was cool, because one day he just sort of, I think I had been very, like, rightfully,
just
but awe-filled, I think, more than anything, and, like, not wanting to sort of throw up or do anything stupid to sort of, be inappropriate. And it got to this point where one day he finally just like sat down next to me in like one of the empty director's chairs and was just like, so what's up? Start talking.
Just shooting the shit.
And I remember at the time, like I had just started sort of being like, I think I might want to do comedy, but I don't know what, it would be hard and I don't know. And he was so, because he does so much stand-up, he was so, encouraging. He was just, like, warm. And, we had had conversations a lot before then, but it was very, like running bit, but sort of at a distance, obviously, because we don't know each other at all. And so that was, like, the first time that anybody of that caliber for me and of someone that I grew up watching like sat down and like just was amazing. He was just so great. So have you ever had, you said talking about like working with Leah Thompson and stuff, I was obviously before I was sort of internet stalking you and I was was there a moment like that for you that you can remember in any of the shows that you've done that was like someone that you had really idolized
of? There were, I mean, there's been a couple back in right before Zack Stone, I did a show on ABC Family called State of Georgia.
Yeah.
And that was with Raven Simone, who, I mean, Olivia from The Cosby Show. So that was already amazing.
Yeah.
But the woman who played her aunt on the show was Loretta Devine.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
oh,
exactly.
Oh, my God.
So, when I got cast, I didn't know at that time who was playing the aunt and stuff. And so we, I walked onto the show with that cast already established.
Yeah.
And then I saw that it was Loretta Devine. I was like, holy shit.
Did you bring her like an OBC, and, Dream Girls?
No, totally. I was like, you're OG Dream Girls.
Yeah, like,
you're,
that's amazing.
She's also from Grey's Anatomy. She won her, Tony, but her Emmy for,
she was fierce on
she's
Grey's
amazing.
Anatomy.
So, and I had studied, African American theater history at good old Long Beach State. But I had seen, previous shows that she was in, like I've seen scenes from Dream Girls and, Colored Museum and For Colored Girls. So I was familiar with her and her work. So it was amazing to actually, one, just get to work with her, two, watch her work, and three, the day she said my name, I was like, holy shit, Loretta Devine knows my name! But it was amazing. And that was one of my freak out moments, I guess, with an actor that I had known or respected or whatever. And I no kidding, the day she was like, baby, you're so funny. I love you, Jason. And I was like, did she just say Jason? Did she just call me?
She said, I love you.
Loretta said my name. Yeah. So it was one of, that was one of my freak out moments. But, I mean, you know, just talk about somebody that's been doing it forever. And yeah. Then, like really seeing that level of professionalism and you know, just someone who, I mean, they just, it was amazing to see someone that just knows what they're doing. You know what I mean? And just to watch it and every take, she would bring the funny, but bring something new. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have options. And it was just, it was neat. And for me starting out, that was, I was like, that's, you know, I want to aspire to be at that level where I just am pumping it out. And, you know, I just, from experience, but also from just being good and being,
well,
you know.
Well, also, I think there's a certain energy that comes with, when people know who you are, right?
Yeah.
You carry that with you. And so if you show up on set and you're awesome energy, you're awesome to work with, you're bringing it every take, there's a reason that people enjoy working with you. I think it's great for, at least for me, and I'm sure it resonates for you, it's great to have those moments where the people that you've loved and admired, like, it's confirmed in your mind.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're good people.
Yeah, cool,
they're good. They're
it's
like,
true,
you know,
because
not everybody, you know, shows up on time or actually brings it or does, you know, what they want, you know, and you kind of get disappointed when you find those things.
There've also been those, but we'll talk about the good people.
I love everyone. So,
that was one of the first times that I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. And when was that? That was 2011?
2011. We were shooting that series. Yeah.
So let's back up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You were born in Long Beach, right?
LBC.
Woo-hoo. And you went to Cal State Long Beach?
I went to Cal State Long Beach.
Awesome.
Got my BA in theater. Because it was the only thing that I was going to be able to finish. I was like, look, Mom, you want me to get a college
Let's
degree?
Be real.
It's going to be in theater. But, you know, of course, I also loved it. I actually started doing theater in, like, grade school and high school and that kind of thing. And before going into college, I was kind of on the border of, like, what I was going to study. I knew I wanted it to be in the entertainment industry. But I was going to come around... the more tech way. I was really into like stage makeup and I wanted to do the prosthetics and all that stuff. So initially that was my focus was I came in as a general tech major and then they make you take the acting classes as well for the program. And I was like, oh, who am I kidding? I'm an actor. And so
this is it.
Yeah. Like two semesters in or something, I switched to like a theater major and just kind of stuck
with
never
it. Looked
then,
back.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool.
Exactly. So, went to Long Beach State, and then what did I do after that? I went to Australia for a little bit and studied. I took summer programs out there for theater. So
were your parents like supportive of that? Your family?
Oh yeah. By that point, I think I'd already graduated college, and so that was a couple years after college. It was one of those things that I'd always wanted to study abroad.
Yeah.
But at the time, couldn't afford to. So it was one of those things I kind of just found a program that would serve as my sponsor and allow me to work and live in Australia.
Yeah.
And then kind of synced it up with their summer programs.
Cool.
And so, it just worked out really well. And I took some classes at NIDA, which is, you know, their big fancy acting school out there. And it was a great experience.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. So
was your parents, mom and dad?
Oh yeah, they were down with that. But yeah, I was like, I'm leaving for a year. Bye.
Peace.
Yeah.
But before, when you were in college, when you decided to sort of be like, oh, I'm going to do acting now. Like,
no.
What was that like?
No.
Not excited?
I mean, you know, as the child of immigrant parents from that era, no.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
I was going to say, as a doctor, lawyer.
You come here, you're either going to be in the medical field or the teaching field or something useful. And it's funny because my dad was a musician. He was a performer. I later on, as I was older, found out that my dad had done like extra work in Filipino movies and stuff like that. And I was like, oh shit. But you know, coming to America, it's a practical move. You know what I mean? So, it took a while for them to get on board with what I was doing. Because I mean, it, again, it was weird because my dad was always a performer and a musician, and we would always sing in the house, mm-hmm. and he played the piano and the guitar. So there was an aspect of performing in our family and that whole thing. But when it came time to me, you know, actually choosing to become a theater major, it was like, it did not sit well with them at first. And I mean, probably up until recently, my mom was like, when are you going to be a doctor? When are you going to go just be a nurse or something, huh? You need insurance. And I was like, I'm good, Mom. This is my life career now. Yeah. So
when was the first time that they sort of were like, oh, he's doing this as a career?
Yeah, my, recently. No, my mom, I think, let's see. What it was one of the times my mom, I think she caught like it was either like Bones or I guess starred on Bones or some random show, mm-hmm. and she caught it because in the beginning it was always like, oh, that's cool, you had one line, or oh yay, is that gonna pay your bills? And I'm right. like, great, yeah, relax, Mom. Yeah. But she saw the scene I had on Bones, and I was like the suspect, and it was the longest I'd ever been on television, and she was like, oh, good job. And that was all she said. And I was like, it was no like just insult. You're not going to tell me like... I look fatter than Emily Deschanel. I was like, and no joke. Like when I I did a quick little scene on How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
And it was me and Neil Patrick Harris. That was the scene. And the first thing my mom says, I think this was one of my first like SAG TV gigs.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, you're so much bigger than that Neil Patrick Harris. And I was like, thanks, Mom. That's the critique I get. Thanks. I'm just saying, you know, he looks really skinny and you don't. And I was like, thanks, bitch, because I'm not skinny. Thanks. So every time after that, I was always expecting like, because she would. Like the main comment my mom would have after watching me on television was like, why did they put you in such a tight shirt? Or how come they picked that color? It's so bright on your body. Like, shit like that. I was like, oh, Mom.
It's like not even backwards compliments.
Nope.
It's just straight up. It's like, you could have looked better.
Listen, that is the my Filipino mom that's so been funny. Her from the beginning. Which is
so her basically saying good job was like Loretta saying, right. I love you, Jason.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just so
listen, I mean, to get her to say good job was like, I mean, that was a once in a lifetime thing that will probably never, ever happen again.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I mean, it was the first time she actually had nothing to say. But good job. I was like, you're not going to comment on my glasses or my mustache. Or
like,
my...
I did it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like,
I've leveled up.
Yeah. Still, she'll still ask about what my insurance situation
right.
is. You have to make sure you have medical insurance and health insurance. I'm like, relax, lady. I'm good now.
You were like, it's all fine. They're wooden teeth now.
Right.
Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. I'm falling wood teeth.
It kind of reminded me of this thing that you had done, that Project Greenlight video.
Yes.
Who was the filmmaker on that?
A guy named Mark Manalo.
He was like a finalist last season,
he was one
season,
of the
right?
top 10 finalists of Project Greenlight for this past season.
But that was like the same storyline, basically, right? Where his parents were like, are you sure you want to be a
filmmaker? Exactly. Like, it was one of those things. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's Filipino parents for you. It's
but
just
you
like,
got to play the dad.
Yeah.
You
and
the
so
parents.
It was amazing because I was like, well, I know this character. And so, yeah, he was like, dude, will you play my dad? You know exactly how this goes. And I was like, oh, yeah. So it was great. And I mean, he made it in the top 10. I think he might have even made it.
Like top five
or something
right?
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yeah,
that
yeah. He did pretty decent. On
I voted
there,
for
so.
It. It was very funny.
Well, good. Yeah. Good. So, super talented guy. And
have you seen Aziz Ansari's Master of None yet?
And so I just started watching that today. This morning, I saw the first two episodes.
So they explore a lot of that dynamic for Asian culture and like Asian parents.
Yeah,
because
the
both
second
like,
episode, parents.
Yeah,
yes,
like they
yes,
really get into
amazing.
It, which I thought was so great because. Especially the commentary that they make about like white, you know, white families and white parents. It's like, you know, they're just happy that you're doing, you know, and
right.
I was like, that is kind of really funny because it could be literally anything. And white parents are just happy that their kids like aren't on crack or whatever.
Right,
and like, you know, it's a very low bar for us because if your daughter's not like Lindsay Lohan, you're like, oh, she's an angel.
Yeah, exactly.
She's found her own path, you
know? And like, the thing I think, you know, with that episode, it was even Aziz and his best friend discovering the plight of the immigrant parents coming in, what they had gone through just for them to be here and not help them with the iPad or go get a bag of rice for them. Yeah. And it's true. I mean, it is you are we as first generation, Americans kind of take it for granted, you know, yeah. what our parents did. And also why it was so, hard for someone like my mom to get on board with me just wanting to be an actor. Like, that was never an option for anyone in the Philippines. You know what I mean? It was like, you become a nurse, you become, a teacher or something that can get you out of the country and move you on to a better, you know, a better life and stuff. There was no, I'm going to be an actor. I'm going to be a musician. That, especially that parents episode. I mean, that was amazing.
I've really loved watching that. Like, we binge watched the whole thing, but then I've kind of been going back and even rewatching some of them now because I'm weird. But I love the way that he structures the episodes. I love the flashbacks as a way of storytelling. Yeah. I'm really liking where he's going with it. And I like that because later on he really explores kind of male versus female dynamics really well in a really open way. And
I just started the third episode.
I won't spoiler alert for you. But it's excited, it just was really well done. I'm so glad that it's getting so many good reviews. But I also am really happy that things like Netflix even exist anymore.
It's amazing. It wouldn't have existed on network television.
It's
amazing. I mean, between Amazon and Hulu and Netflix and all the different venues that are giving these opportunities, it is amazing. And also yay for diversity as well.
Hooray.
Huzzah. I mean, this is the most Asian Americans we've had on television, I think, or television and including, Netflix and stuff and ever. So,
it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. You know, it's like one of those things that as me growing up, you don't see that. And so I guess you don't really realize what a big deal it is to actually have it until it is brought up and it is in your face and you're like, holy shit. Yeah. What do you mean? This is the first Asian family show, fresh off the boat since a Margaret Cho show. And you're like, holy shit, it's been 20 years. And the fact that it's even been that long in between is amazing. Cause you never think that with, even a black family show, obviously a white family show, but the whole thing is amazing that the opportunity is there now and it is actually happening now. So
that's awesome.
I'm glad to be an Asian on television.
All right, television.
Yeah. Ooh.
So I guess maybe because I don't want to call anybody out, obviously, because we both enjoy having careers. Mm. But in that vein, in that sort of thought process, have you experienced any just blatant out and out discrimination? Because later in Master of None, again, not spoiler alerting or anything, but there is a point in time where Dev sort of has to deal with very sort of blatant discrimination. Sure. And he really explores it. You know, it's very complex. It's very, but he explores it so deftly that I think that it's gonna avoid any of the people that would be like, but white people have it hard too because people just misunderstand us. Do you know what I mean? I'm wondering, have you ever had any?
Well, personally, as an actor, yes. I mean, there have been times where they're like, oh, well, can you do a heavier accent or that kind of thing? That's especially in the beginning. I mean, it was a lot of me going out for a Hawaiian boy, put on a skirt and take your shirt off and that kind of thing. And, the very stereotypical or whatever roles that I would fit into. And the way that I looked at that in the beginning was, I got to get my foot in the door somehow initially. And then, I've always looked at it as when I'm in a position to actually say something or in a more established, position. Right. To turn stuff down and to question characters and even what I'm auditioning for. I find myself, now that I'm able to make some of those positions or those decisions. Most recently I turned down an audition for, it wasn't that the character was written racist or there was a joke in a show that came across racist if they were going to cast an Asian actor for it. And I don't think that the writers took it into consideration that, hey, the joke is that this guy's yellow, but the joke was something like that. And it was like, I don't think you know what that means if it's an Asian person. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just little things like that where I'm like, the awareness is not there.
People aren't, yeah.
Still. But I'm glad that, you know, I'm trying to make myself more aware of that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And cause in my career, I've been fortunate enough to, I guess, be cast more on a character type than an ethnicity specifically, yeah. I guess, you know, I've played maybe Asian, specifically Asian, a couple times, you know, but it's more so we need a nerd or we need a quirky guy or we need, you know, that type versus ethnicity. And I, you know, I think a lot of the roles that I've auditioned for weren't ethnic specific. So one, I think it's been cool that they were, you know, willing to go with the diversity, but two, I think they cast more on the type of character and then, you know what I mean?
So, rather than skin color and look. Well, that's good.
But, I mean, it's there. It's still there. And, you know, I mean, the fact that these shows are coming out more and more now and you know, shows like Empire and just the full-on diversity, I think it's a good thing. It's a good sign. I think we're heading in the right direction as far as the response from the audiences that they're getting. I think, you know, networks and studios are seeing that these shows do bring in an audience that, you know, so that are the audiences open for diversity and seeing something new, you know? So,
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to know that it has been at least not super overt.
Right. I mean, when it comes to me too, I'm such a specific type that it's been all kinds of, there's been sizeism. There's been, you know what I mean? So not only has it been like, can you do the accent? Can you be a 400-pound sumo? Where I'm like, obviously not. Or just, I mean, it's been, you know, I'm such a specific type as well that it's like, it is not uncommon for to have been rejected for height, size, weight, you know, ethnicity, all of that stuff. But that's, again, that's just our industry as well, too. So, you know.
I hate it.
I know. And on the same point, you know, there's always somebody that's going to be offended by something, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't know.
Not when you work for ABC Family, though.
No, well,
they try to be pretty.
They try to be pretty PC, but
they're also really inclusive, though, which I'm.
Yes. I mean, ABC Disney in general is amazing with incorporating diversity. I mean, they don't at this point. It's just becoming the norm, which it should be, anyways. You know, but they've, you know, right from Grey's Anatomy all the way, you know, down to like, what do they have now? Like, Scandal and
How to Get Away with Murder.
Such a diverse cast. Yeah. So it's amazing. It's great. You know, so.
That's awesome. Well, you've been with the ABC family for kind of a while now. Cause I mean, we met and you were doing MTV stuff, the MTV show. And then when that didn't get renewed, like you did the Mistletoe.
Right. So I did State of Georgia first with them.
25 Days of Christmas.
Hello, coming up right now.
Hello. Best time of the year.
Yes.
Everybody's
so
freaking out so much about the list so coming out. It makes me laugh because all the blogs that I read are like, it's here.
Yes.
The 25 Days of Christmas list
is here.
You guys,
they just shuffled around last year's schedule. But
they just realigned.
But it's amazing how exciting it is to the fans, you know, like.
Yeah.
And it is. It's one of those things where at Christmas time, I am just watching Hallmark, ABC Family, Lifetime, all of the Christmas movies. It's the best thing in the world. So
is We around anymore? We
probably
an
Ion, like they all. But it's it's great, and like it definitely was on the checklist of I was like, one day I want to do like a Christmas movie because that shit's amazing. I mean,
well, what was that experience like?
It was so much fun. We were their first musical Christmas movie, that was also, you know, just a fun thing to be a part of. Like, I started out doing musical theater in high school and college, so to go back and incorporate those skills was a lot of fun. We had, you know, some days, it was myself, Tia Mori, Tori Spelling was
Sister
in this. Yes, exactly. Shout out to Tia, I love you. But it was great, you know, like they put us in dance rehearsals for a week, and then we shot in Utah. We had more dance rehearsals there. It was amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah. So singing, dancing, I mean, Christmas, it was magic. The ABC Family fans are just amazing, period. Like it's crazy because it is such a wide age range.
It is, yeah.
And all types also. Yeah. So yeah. And plus Christmas. I mean, who really doesn't, you know, like, enjoy a Christmas movie? So even the Jews and the non-Christians. So there. La-di-da. Take that to your Starbucks. But yeah. You know, I mean, who can't get behind a good old holiday movie?
Well, I'm glad that they've sort of kept you around. So what was that? So after Mistletoe's wrapped, you said that they sort of, you know, you were on the other show with...
I did State of Georgia before Mistletoe.
Oh, before.
So that was the first
State of Georgia,
one I did. That was with Loretta.
Mistletoe's.
Yes, and Raven. And then they brought me back for the Mistletoe's, okay. Their first Christmas holiday singing movie. And then now I'm back for Kevin from Work.
So how did that work? Did they just, like, contact your agent or something?
You know, I went in for the audition and everything as well. That was a really neat, just life job experience. I mean, it was one of those situations where... I had auditioned for the casting directors before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were one of the first people I had tested for a TV show for a pilot. So I had that history with them. The creator of the show was a staff writer on a show that I had a small recurring part on previously as well, called Man Up. And then I just tested for McGee and Aaron Kaplan, who are the producers and the director of this show.
Yeah.
So...
Everything
puzzle pieced for mm-hmm. that particular for Kevin for Work. It was kind of neat, you know, like Barbie, the creator.
Yeah,
she looked at my resume and she was like, "Oh, you were on Man Up," and I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "How do you know Man Up?" She's like, "I wrote for the show." So
that's cool.
It was just neat to find out, like, you know, as you go on in this industry, it's like you just never know what jobs
are
gonna come back around or what's gonna come of them, and. Or you think that maybe, you know, you're auditioning and you're not getting somewhere. But the truth of it is as long as you're leaving these good impressions with people, like, it just comes around somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. You know, you plant the seeds and somewhere, somehow, they all come together and come to fruition. And make a TV show.
We just both did, like, a really bad thing in sign language.
I know, well, they can't see us, so there.
On Periscope.
But yeah, so I've been lucky. ABC Family, thank you. They've looked out for me for a little bit, and I'm you know, so grateful to be part of the family, the network.
And so you guys are waiting, basically, to hear about
season
2.
I got cast as Ricky. Initially, I didn't think I was supposed to be on the show as much as I turned out to be. So,
yeah, because they had you a part of, like, cast Q&As on Twitter.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Like, yeah.
I mean, initially, I think I was just a little pop-in kind of character in the pilot. And then they kind of, as we were shooting the pilot, you know, they kept throwing me into little things here and there. And then...
Amy's breasts.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
Love it. And then when we got picked up... my people heard back from their people and they were like, "Hey, we're going to have Jason in all 10 episodes."
That's so great.
It was amazing. I mean, and it was such a great experience for me, you know, and just a good learning experience really too. So I had the best time. We all got along really well. And again, I mean, what a treat to work with Amy Sedaris, and we've had some great guest stars on there too. And I mean, it was just, the whole thing has just been surreal and amazing. So,
Maybe not the day that you found out you got picked up for 10 more episodes of Work, but, like, do you have a specific day or memory or phone call or something that was like, this is it, this is the greatest thing that's happened to me so far, like, I'm the most excited quantifiably for this one thing?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, aside from this most recent, the Kevin from Work thing.
That was really big.
That was a big thing for me to be asked to be a part. I've never been a part of a show on this kind of scale before, you know, so to be this involved where, I mean, even there were moments where Barbie actually called me to tell me that, "Hey, you're not really in this episode, but I'm just letting you know." And I was like, okay. But, like,
yeah,
I mean, stuff
that
like that
yeah.
where I was like, "What, are we in communication?" You know, and, like, you know, I was able to get a dear friend of mine to play my sister on the show, which was amazing as well. So, that collaboration and that kind of work relationship for television I'd never had before. So, I mean, it really was a really, for lack of a better way of saying it, but a fucking cool experience, yeah. You know? So, but I guess one of the other more exciting moments was when I first booked Splinterheads, which was like one of my first films that I'd ever done. And I was, you know, I'm still working my 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where I got flown out to do the table read. So it was like a big deal to me.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
I put myself on tape and got cast. Well, initially cast. And then they brought me to the table read in New York. And it was one of those moments where I was going to come back from New York without my day job.
Yeah.
And this movie, or maybe neither, or what? But it was
right.
It was one of those moments where I wasn't sure what was happening in my life at that moment. And then I got the call that I actually booked the movie, and it was one of those moments, like, you know, like, oh shit, this is what I've been working for, you know. And so yeah, I mean, that will probably be, you know, one of the more memorable. Like,
where were you when you got the call that you got it?
I was in New York still. Like, so I'd done the table read, all the paperwork was happening, and I remember calling my boss going, listen, I know we have training for the next X amount of, you know, weeks, and I don't think that I'm going to be able to make it. And she gave me the ultimatum, like, you know, if you can't be here for this, I'm going to have to let you go.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, I got the call that was like, you are the character.
The same day? Cast.
Yeah, it was all in the same day. I was still in New York. It was a whole, it was a very eventful day.
Wow.
And it was one of the first times I'd been to New York too. So I was like, I'm in the street somewhere. I don't know. It just was one of those amazing moments where you're like the arrows are pointing to, you know, the yes. And
that's so great.
It was just really freaking cool. So yeah.
What did your mom say when that happened?
My mom was like, okay, well, you know,
can't wait to see it.
You should make sure you still have insurance. Like that. I mean, it wasn't
always
like,
practical.
I'm like, mom, I booked a movie with Leah Thompson. Okay, well, are you gonna have health insurance when you come back? And so that's always been my mom's, you know, main concern. But
parents are so practical.
I mean, you know, now it's funny because even from that to now, she really has become one of my biggest cheerleaders,
even though she'll never
admit it to my face. But, you know, like I hear from my aunts or like my mom's coworkers, oh, your mom is telling us to watch ABC Family and da da da. And I'm like, oh, is she? Because she.
Oh, really?
Because she don't call me to say nothing, you know, but.
Because she don't say that she saw me on that.
She don't ever say nothing, but I look fat on TV. But, yeah, no, I mean, you know, that's just, yeah.
That's
just mom. That's just Mama Rogel.
Well, we've been in here for a while, but I wanna ask a question that I ask a lot of people because I always enjoy. I feel like the more I get into doing this podcast, because this is your episode 12. You're the dozenth person that I've
dozen.
The dirty does. No, but it's one of those things that I can kind of see. Where I was the first episode to where I am now, just, you know, you can feel it, you can grow. But one of the things that I've really enjoyed is this consistent question of sort of, what was like the hardest or one of the hardest, what was sort of, have you had a rock bottom-y moment of sort of like, fuck this, I'm not even going to do it. Like, I'm going to go be that doctor that my mom wants or whatever.
Oh yeah.
What was that moment and how did you, like, what was it that helped you get past it to continue doing what you're doing?
Yeah. The 2012 into 2013 year transition was
really
year. Wow. And it's crazy too, because it was one of those situations where we just finished Zack Stone. I shot The Mistletoes in the beginning of the year, so I had that money, and I was, but then that was kind of all I booked that year. So then it was all I was living through or living, you know, off of. It just financially was one of the worst years for me, and it was really rough. I mean, you know, as an actor, you kind of find all those little side jobs to, or even a freelance artist, any type, you know, they all understand that you kind of have to supplement your income somehow. And I think 2013, the beginning of 2013 was the first time I'd ever applied for like a real job, you know, just in like 5 to 6, 7 years or something like that. So like shit got real, and I, you know, like, it was rough. It was a rough year. I wasn't booking, It was just one of those slumps, you know, and I was like, shit, I have to get a job because I need to, you know, and I had like my unemployment or something had run out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was one of those things where I was, you know, I had paying off my bills and everything, but then it was like, what else am I living off of? Right. You know, so, yeah, I'd have to say that was my rock bottom. And then somehow mid 2013, things just started to change. Yeah. I ended up getting a residual check that kind of bailed me out of what I, you know, like the financial situation.
For missile zones?
What? Actually, yeah, probably.
Am I? That yes, 25 yeah, days yeah. of Christmas money? Yeah. You know, that good.
You know, it is. It's one of those situations where, and you know, like I can't complain to my mom because my mom this whole time has been like, I told you, you know, like, right. So it's one of those things where like, you know, I was sitting there. I remember specifically Christmas time, I was sick. I had just cut off my hair because I was bored with life. And I was eating like top ramen, watching myself on television on the Mistletoes. And I had like, you know, 47 cents in my bank account. And I was like, this is the life you chose. I was total Fantine, like singing in my cold apartment, crying. I dreamed.
With the short hair.
Totally. I was like hacking up like mucus. And I was like, now life has killed the dream. Yeah, totally. It was probably my lowest.
Girl, that but, you is know, so relatable, I know, though. Like, I've been there.
We've all been Fantine at some point. But, you know, it was one of those moments where I was like, bitch, you chose this life.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, there's no other life that I want. So, you know, you just have to hang in there and you find a way. And whether it's applying for another job or doing whatever, I lucked out, honestly, yeah. with that residual check coming in to save my life. And then I think, you know, by that point, my outlook just started to change. And so, you know, auditions picked up and stuff like that. Or I started booking more, I guess, yeah. or whatever. And then by 2014, thank God, you know, everything took a turn. And it started working more a little bit. Yeah, yeah, again. And so, but if anything, that year just taught me to be very... Just be more meticulous about my finances and that kind of thing. Because we are in... That unless you're a regularly working actor, like, and by regularly I mean like every day,
yeah, like Meredith Grey money,
right? Exactly, like Shondaland money. You know, you gotta do what you can with, you know, learn to save, learn to budget, and all that stuff. It's crazy, you know.
Learn to eat ramen and cry, and
you know, eat your top ramen and pay for your cable television and make decisions, you know.
Netflix
Yeah, no, it was crazy. But that was, I mean, that was definitely a low. But without that, I wouldn't have learned just, you know, that how bad I want this and how bad I needed to change things as far as, you know, the way I run my finances and that kind of thing. And I learned a lot.
So a good lesson.
A good rock bottom lesson. Good old Fantine.
So, do you have any projects coming up or anything that you want to pimp out right now?
Yeah, well, you know, I shot an episode of Life in Pieces.
Oh, fun.
Justin Adler is Excellent. Barbie Adler's husband. Barbie is the creator of our show.
Perfect.
So, Justin had me on their show, which Wonderful. Was amazing. So, I got to work with Diane Wiest and James Brolin, which was amazing.
Oh, I think I saw it when you
It was
Instagram
another freak
that.
Out moment where I was like,
you were like, what is my
You're
life?
You're the mom from Parenthood. Like, it's amazing. Yeah. So I'm not sure when that airs, or I'm not sure. I'll be at Tia and I from the Mistletoes. Tia and Excellent. I have kept in close contact, and we're
Excellent.
Good friends. She had me on her cooking show.
Oh, cool.
So I'll be on next month at some point on
That's
the cooking
great.
Channel. Yeah. And then next year... Andrew Dice Clay is the Dice Man
has
a television show on Showtime.
I actually heard about that. I'm actually really excited.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
I didn't know that you were doing
well,
that.
Well, I had a guest on that.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah.
How was he?
He was great. He was...
Weird?
No.
It's okay if he was weird.
No, he was exactly how you think he would be.
Okay, that's
Just
good.
Really... The Dice Man.
Yeah, did a lot of arm flicks.
Very Easty, very Brooklyn, but very polite and pleasant at the same time.
That's
but
so funny.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, this show, I think, is about him coming back.
Yeah.
It's about him.
Yeah, isn't it just called
back.
Dice, right?
It's called Dice.
Cool.
But him coming, making a comeback as a, as
what's
a,
the character you play? Can you tell me, or is it too
yeah,
spoilery?
No, I play a window salesman. You'll see how it figures into the scene. Okay. But we have a great scene where you talk about the younger generation not knowing who Andrew Dice Clay is, and my character is kind of like who? And
awesome.
It's that kind of scene. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. Him and Kevin Corrigan's on it as well.
Okay, cool.
Awesome cast. Awesome. Because I think Adrian Brody and Lorraine Bracco. And
oh, wow.
It's a great cast.
That's awesome.
So,
Adrian Brody. That's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited to see that.
Oh, I'm watching The Sopranos now, too. So Lorraine Bracco, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
I know. I love her. She's another one that I'm like, one day, lady.
Yeah.
We'll get to work together. Yeah. But yeah.
Hang on.
Yeah. In the meantime, hopefully more Kevin from work, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I do have one last question.
Tell
and
me.
It's so random.
Ask
Is
me.
There going to be a sequel to the sci-fi movie that you were in?
Oh my gosh, I wish. I have no idea. I think sci-fi is interesting where I don't know.
/ when does it replay? What was the title of it?
Swamp Shark.
Swamp Shark.
With the amazing Christy Swanson.
What?
Yes. God, we had so much fun doing that.
Christy Swamp Shark Swanson.
Christy Swamp Shark, original Buffy the Vampire Slayer Swanson.
I mean, did she
honestly,
do a high kick?
I wish, yeah. Well, it's funny because she and D.B. Sweeney, Topic D.B. Sweeney, were both in that movie, and they both know how to ice skate. So I was like, ooh, what are the chances we're going to get them to ice skate together? Zero.
Slim to none.
Zero. But anyways, I don't know. I think the reason Sharknado got a sequel was because of its
threequel.
Crazy popularity. But,
right.
You know, other than that, maybe.
Was
Who
that
knows?
Fun to do, though?
It was so much fun. I mean, we were in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Which one of my favorite, but one of our favorite places. And yeah, it was like summer camp. I mean, it was like me, Christy Swanson, D.B. Sweeney, Sophie Sinise, running through the swamps of Louisiana.
Just like covered in blood. You have one of the greatest profile
it's
photos
so
of
great.
Me just like
it's
screaming
so
covered
much
in blood.
Fun. It's so much fun. But yeah, it was like a hot, sticky summer camp.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm really glad you came by, though. I'm excited that
Thank
we got to sit down and
me.
Talk. This was fun. It was very,
it's good.
Like...
It's been so long since we've seen each other.
I know.
So this is nice.
I think I'm getting to this point with Los Angeles where I'm trying to treat it like a real city, even though it's basically like living inside like a state, like in and of itself. Like it's so large that like I realize I'm like, oh, I haven't seen a lot of people, but it's not for like, oh, I don't want to see that. It's like, oh, if I work 13 hours a day, I just go home to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and
exactly.
I'm kind of,
Everybody's
we have a similar
things.
New Orleans connection. So I'm like, kind of looking at this other, like, oh, what if I could live in NOLA? And
we
just
should
sort
meet
of
up
like,
in New Orleans
oh my
one
God,
of these
I
times.
Would die.
Yeah.
It'd be so fun.
I spent the last 2 Christmases / New Year's in New Orleans.
I was just there for right before Halloween.
Yeah.
I got to spend the Friday before Halloween there.
Nice.
Then I flew out on Halloween to come back to LA and then did Halloween here.
Yeah. Well,
which was fun. Yeah. We went to a drag show. It was
nice.
Great. Yeah. I really like it. I don't drink anymore, though. So there's an interesting thing when
I
go there.
I've never been much of a drinker.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'll put it down when I need to, but yeah.
Well, where can people find you on the internet if they want to follow you?
I'm on the social medias.
On the
Twitter,
Instagram,
Jason Rogel. Instagram, J to the Rizzo. Facebook, Jason Rogel. Yeah, I think that's it. You know.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God.
Happy holidays.
Everybody go watch Kevin from Work on ABC Family. Go check out Mistletones, a part of the 25 Days of Christmas schedule.
Ooh.
I did look it up, and I think you guys are playing a more, like, nighttime block.
Yeah, it's
but
random.
You can find it. It's like 25daysofchristmas.com or something like
it's
that.
It's also on Netflix, I think.
Oh, true.
So, booyah.
All of the 40-year-old moms listening, you can go watch Mistletones.
And I love you.
I love you. Thanks for being my friend.
Now life has killed the dream I dreamed.